Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
For review's sake, I think it's going to be helpful if we just think about what we're looking at as we get into 1 Corinthians. The first six chapters, Paul's just sharing his concerns specifically with them. First six chapters, we covered that. His basic thoughts about getting wind of what's happening, and he's sharing back with them, hey, I'm concerned about these basic things. And we went over those different areas of things that he was concerned about. Chapter 7 through 16 covers questions that they had for Paul. They've sent a communication to Paul saying, hey, these are things we're wondering about. They've got questions. And so they're sending out this communication to Paul, hey, we're wondering about these things. Chapter 7 was marriage and singleness. Chapter 8, 9, and 10, which we just finished covering, was the freedoms that we get to enjoy as Christians or our Christian liberty. Chapter 11 begins this thought of really, how do we handle ourselves, or what is our behavior like within the church? How are we carrying ourselves? How are we handling ourselves? Chapter 12, 13, and 14, familiar area of Scripture, the gifts that God has given to the body of Christ. Chapter 15, the resurrection of the dead. And chapter 16, giving and offering. So he's going to respond to all of those things, but this morning, as we particularly kind of focus in on the order of things, in particular some specific areas within the body of Christ, God's order. Now, bear in mind, Pastor Jim in this situation is a messenger, okay? So I think that's important. He's the messenger. You know, he's sharing a message from the Lord, but he's just the messenger. God wrote this via the Holy Spirit. Paul responding to specific concerns that they were struggling with. And so Paul is responding from the Lord, from his heart, from the Lord, the Holy Spirit inspiring this, sharing what the order of things might be. So when we read through this, I think it lays out, it starts to become pretty clear, but you've got to kind of work our way through it. So just be patient, be open to the Lord and what God might speak to our hearts. Again, it is not, I do not believe, the most popular message in the day in which we live. I just don't find that to be the case. As a matter of fact, I find this to be one of the more controversial areas to discuss. Now, for me, I've been walking in this for the last 25 years or so, or a little more, and I've embraced this truth and the things that are associated with that. My wife and I enjoy the benefits of this, and so we are adherents to this concept and this truth. And so I find it to be fruitful and good. Let's get into it. Verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the tradition just as I delivered them to you. He says, hey, you're doing a good job. Basically, things are going cool. I had to bust you on a few things in the first six chapters. It didn't come in six chapters. You know that, right? The letter was written out, and it was just written, you know, as a letter. But what we have is that first big portion was six chapters, and it was conveyed in a certain way. He says, hey, man, you guys, except for those few things, hey, everything's going pretty cool. But I want to, you know, kind of clear up this because they had some questions about this, the order of things in the church. But, he goes, in verse 3, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Pretty straightforward. Paul's wanting to tell them, hey, there's a few tweaks and adjustments I want you to think about. Here's the basic structure of the body of Christ and what it looks like. This is the basic structure of it. Now, in no way in verse 3 is there anything said about superiority or inferiority. There's nothing said that way. It's not superior or inferior. There's nothing mentioned that way. It is not mentioned that men are better than women. It's talking about humility and the liberty that we have and how we are to be yielded one. And the Bible's very clear about that, that we are to be submitted one to another. I think it's interesting at the last little portion of this, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, well, wait a minute. I thought there was a triune Godhead. I thought it was three in one. I thought it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that there was total, you know, equality. He didn't consider it robbery to be made equal with God, Paul says in Philippians, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and was obedient to the Father, even to the point of death, death on the cross. So when we look at that, we see, okay, so Jesus is God. He is deity. He is equal to God, but his place within the Godhead is in submission, subjection to the Father. That's the way God's designed it. That's the way it works. So really, I think it helps us even to have a better understanding. It's not inferior or superior. It's just the order of things. God has structured it this way. This is, I can't put it any more simply than this, it is God's plan and it is his desire. True liberty for men and women is found when these principles are put in place. Because it's God's design. We are made by God and for God, and this is where we really find things to work out well, where we really experience fulfillment. And so he goes on and he states that very clearly, that this is the structure of things, that the head of every man is Christ and the head of every woman is man. And then he goes on and clarifies this, and he says, hey, just like the head of Christ is God. He says, just in that same fashion. So again, this idea for guys, you have to stick a stick of dynamite in this I am the king and you do what I tell you concept, okay? That is the wrong concept of submission and a godly understanding of that. Women, if you're hung up on this whole deal that you've got to be large and in charge about everything, then you're missing all of it. That was what it was all about, and that somehow you've been mistreated and stuff. That's not what this is. This is simply God's design, his love and his desire for us to link with him in this design that he has created, that he might bless and we might be the beneficiaries of this. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Who is the head of man? We just read that. Who's the head of man? Christ, clearly stated. So men, we're not supposed to cover ourselves. And he goes on, we'll collect up as we go along. Just stay with it. We're going to gather some of the information that supports that. He clears that up himself as he goes through this. The Spirit's clear on this. But just tuck that away. We understand every man praying or prophesying, we're in a gathering of believers. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, that is a radical statement for a rabbi, for a Pharisee, for a Jewish leader to make that statement. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a religious leader in his time. And for him to make that statement, you go anywhere over there, you'll find they all have their prayer shawl, their covering. The men, all of them have this covering that they utilize. And he's saying, man, that really wasn't right. They're saying, well, no, that's what Moses did. Remember when he came off the mountain? That's how Moses handled himself. Paul says, yeah, I think we misunderstood that. That's traditions teaching that. But he says, you know what? Paul's clear, and we go through other portions of Scripture, we find out, Paul's saying, no, you know, that might have been just kind of, he just didn't want the people to see, because eventually the glory faded away. And he didn't want the people to see that as it would fade away. And so that's why the covering went on. And so they said, oh no, this is why we need to cover ourselves. Paul says, no, that's not right. So a pretty radical statement on that concept. And he says, but every woman, verse 5, who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. Now, one, you'll notice that every woman who prays or prophesies. So I want you to notice in verse 5 that it clearly says that that does take place, that that's not wrong, that's not inappropriate, but it's to be done in a certain way so that it can be of benefit both in the Lord and to those who are hearing and a part of it. In a gathering of people like this, a mixed group of people, he's saying, if you're in this prayer meeting, this situation where there's a group of people, it says, but every woman who prays or prophesies. So it is obviously acceptable, just like the men, just like the women. It is acceptable that they do that, isn't it? You can clearly read it. So that's not taboo or something that's forbidden. But with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. Who's her head? According to what we've just read, I know it's going to be, you'll choke on it, but who is her head? It says her husband, in this case, is her head. Now, gals, if you're not married, then it would be those who are leaders within the body, the men that are leaders, the elders in the church would be that head in that gathering, okay? So it's not complicated, it's not confusing, but this would be dishonoring. Well, why would that be dishonoring? For that one is one and the same as if her head were shaved. Well, what's so big? What's the problem with having her head, you know, why is that an issue? Whether it's covered or not. In their culture, it's the women that had their heads shaved off, were a part of these temple prostitutes. And they were identified within their society. They knew that these people were that. Now, we don't want to dishonor the Lord. We don't want to dishonor the relationship. He's saying, you don't want to dishonor this marriage that you have by looking like or handling yourself in a way as if you were a prostitute. That's basically what he's saying. He says, it's almost that stark a contrast. You're doing something that's out of sync with the plan that God has established. So it's important to work through and think through these things. So we move through it. We see, okay, that makes sense. For in verse 6, if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. He says, okay, if you don't want to do that, then why wouldn't you just, if that's who you are or what you are, then it's made evident. You know, this is who you are. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. He says, then show the respect in the sense, or show the modesty, is what it's saying. Just do that then. Then you think, well, what's the big deal? What's the conflict here? What's going on? As we unfold this a little bit further, this all goes all back into Genesis. This goes back to the very beginning of things. And it's something that we see in the garden that transpired. And the man was not there. The enemy came and deceived Eve, if you recall, back in the very beginning. And then the curse took place because they both fell. And the curse then came upon them. And you remember for the woman, the man's was, hey, by the sweat off man's brow, the ground will yield forth its fruit. So get out there and work. You got to provide. So it was just boom. You got to get out there and work. You're not just wandering around picking leaves out of the garden anymore. We got to get out there and do some other stuff. Till the ground, care for, you know, it's just, you got to get to work. So inside of man's, there's a drive mechanism to get to work. Now, the thing that happens is the woman's desire, the Bible says, is for her husband. It's an interesting term that's used there. It's not just, hey, I just want to hang out with him, which is part of it, but it's kind of a little bit stronger term of almost wanting to have charge over their time and what they're doing and all this stuff. And this desire is there. Now, all this stuff, none of this is wrong, but it creates a radical conflict oftentimes. Because now the guy's saying, hey, I've got to get out. I've got stuff to do. I've got to provide. Well, can't you just hang out? Can't you just be here? Can't you just, and it's just this constant, we live in this tension of this. This is very real for most all of us. So this is part of where all of this is coming from in this idea of the order of things and how there's going to be that struggle in it. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. Interesting little portion snippet in that man was created first. Does anybody disagree with that when you read through Genesis account? That man, were they created exactly at the same time? Did you read that way in Genesis account? They weren't created exactly at the same time, were they? And then what happened? It is not good that man be alone. He's a dumb kid. He'll do the wrong. Somehow, it's not going to go good. You know, he shouldn't be alone. We know that. Man just shouldn't be alone. But it's this idea of the fulfillment comes in when the woman is that helpmate that God designed her to be. That's when the fulfillment starts to come together. So man, it's not good that he's alone. God creates then woman for man. So man's not alone now. God's created the woman for the man. He is made in the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. I think this is interesting, or outshining, or this reflection of the man, her man. Guys, that's an interesting concept to contemplate and think about. We touch on this from time to time through Scripture, but this is a very interesting thing. You may think, well, I just wish that she was more whatever. Whatever that is, whatever that concept, I wish she was more whatever that is. She is just working out a reflection of the relationship and how you lead in that relationship. That's all she's doing. It's a reflection of, I just don't understand why she's so snappy with me. Might be a direct reflection of how you're treating her. It's a very interesting concept to contemplate and think through. It can be very convicting, and it can be a very positive thing, depending upon where you're at, because it really boils down to, are you reflecting the relationship that you have with God within your home? Are you loving your wife the way Christ loved the church, which is very sacrificially? Are you taking the lead in your home as a man? Are you leading your home in a biblical fashion? If not, I encourage you, repent. And I would do that today. I wouldn't leave this building until I repented, got right with God, and started leading my home right, because it's destined for destruction. That's the end result of not following God's format and plan. It's very challenging. It's a very kind of up in your face a little bit concept, especially within our world today, because this tension is just gigantic. It's enormous within our world today. Because men have abused their role in leadership, and women are retaliating, basically. Simply stated, it might be more complicated than that. But the thing is true fulfillment is going to be found when it's lined up with God's design. Now, because you line up with God's design, you are not diminishing who you are in any way. The world's tried to tell you that. The enemy tries to tell you that, but not with God. It's not so. You're not diminishing who you are. You are actually revealing more of who God is in your life and who God is in that relationship by being in subjection to the ultimate authority, which is God. It honors God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It honors him. And so that's really the focus of this. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. And we talked about that quickly in this, the creation concept, the truth regarding that in Genesis account. Nor was man created in verse 9 for the woman, but woman for man. We touched on that. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. And this is a representation. And for us, it would be not necessarily a physical covering. We don't have our world isn't like that. Now, I have to tell you, if you dressed coming to services, gals, like you were going to the lake, okay, and going boating or something, that'd be kind of weird, don't you think? That would be. Everybody's wearing their bathing suits and stuff. It'd just be kind of we'd all be a little uncomfortable. Why? Because it's just too, it's not, it's, there's, we need a covering, please. You get what I'm saying? It's kind of that kind of concept that, hey, yeah, there's freedom in the Lord, but be wise about how you're handling yourself. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. You think, what in the world? There are angelic beings that are around looking in at our services today, observing what's transpiring in this gathering. And it's like, wow, you know, this celebration that we have, worshiping the Lord, we're doing it of our own free will. We're just praising God for who he is. All of this, they just look at this and just think, man, this is really radical. But you know what? Angelic beings function in a very orderly fashion. You see, God's creation is not haphazard, willy-nilly, whatever your definition of willy-nilly, I'm sure it's not that. And it goes on. It's just God does things, all things, decently in order. There's a complete wonderful design. You study in like physical geography and you look at the balance in just the moisture, the weather systems, and all of the things, the amount of water on the earth, everything, the way it's perfectly designed, it's very orderly. It's designed so that you and I can walk around with just the right exact amount of gravity so that we don't spin off the earth. And it's designed with just the right amount of oxygen so that we can live and breathe and function. It's designed marvelously, wonderfully. It's a perfect thing for us to live in. God designed it that way for us. It's in order. Well, the angelic beings function in a very orderly fashion. Think with me. Think with me back. They're eternal beings. Think with me back. They watched what happened when 1/3 of the angelic host got out of sync with God's design and plan, and they watched 1/3 of their group go down, get cast out from God's presence. That's a radical thought, isn't it? 1/3 of them got cast out. The angelic beings looking in and watching, and if we start getting out of sync with what God's wanting to do and the way he does things, they get uncomfortable. They get concerned. What's going to happen in this situation now? What's going to go on? How is this going to play out? And so out of even honor for God and for the angelic beings, hey, just stay in an order that is what God designed. It's really an interesting thought to contemplate.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening to the message today. You know, I was thinking about Jesus being that good shepherd. And he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." You know, and we just kind of think of that as a door that on hinges that opens and shuts. But really, at that time period, the shepherd was the door himself. He would lay across the opening. And the sheep would have to kind of cross over him and get through him to get in and out of the sheepfold. And he said, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You know, Jesus was never just a hireling for you or for me. Jesus loves you with a perfect love. He gave his life for you on the cross. He wants to give you life abundant, as spoken of in the scripture here. He is the access into everlasting life. Maybe you've been distant from the Lord. You tuned in and you've gone to church before. You've opened your life at one point, but now you're just living out in the world and away from God, and you're feeling the hurt and the shame and the conviction of the sin. Well, Jesus wants to forgive you again in a fresh new way. He wants you to get started on that journey again. And maybe you're hearing this simple gospel message for the first time and you want to give your life to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God wants to give you a chance. Just pray this simple prayer with me. "Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin. I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to thank you for the free gift of everlasting life that you've given me now. And I thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, all your grace. And I just ask, Lord, that you would
Flood my heart with your Holy Spirit now, that my life might bring you honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.